Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. By the same Holy Spirit that inspired these words, would you come among us? Would you show us your truth and strengthen us to live for you and for others? In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? You might find it helpful to turn back again in our order of service to our Old Testament reading. That's on page 4 of our order of service. This weekend we look back at the coronation of the Queen 70 years ago in 1953. The event itself was televised, and for many was the first time they'd really experienced television. 27 million people watched the event in Britain. Many households bought their first television set for the occasion. Family and friends crowded around a tiny little black and white screen to see Princess Elizabeth crowned Queen at just 26 years of age. I know this is a bit risky, but who would like to volunteer to put their hand up if you remember 1953 watching the coronation? Let's be honest. Thank you, hands down. Did anyone have a family who bought a television set especially for the occasion? Wow. Well, I hope you've replaced your television set with something a little bit more modern. But it was a special occasion. But there was one part of the coronation service where the cameras were not allowed to see. There was one part considered so holy, so sacred, that a cover was literally put over the action. It was the part of the coronation service called the anointing. From ancient times, monarchs were anointed with oil to symbolize the divine blessing of God pouring over them. It was that solemn moment that the king or queen was seen to be chosen and blessed by God themselves. It goes right back to the time of our Old Testament lesson. Back to the times of the Old Testament when Solomon was made king of ancient Israel, the chosen people of God. That is the subject of our reading, and was also put in the words of the anthem this morning. King David at this point was an old, frail man. The glory days of King David as a bold, charismatic leader slaying Goliath, they were long gone. He was a lame duck monarch, and there was a national crisis in Israel. For David had not yet announced who would succeed him as king of Israel. The different rivals were jockeying for position at the royal court. Adonijah was a son of David, and he was seen by many as a favorite. He was tall, good-looking, decisive. But would he be the one? So a few brave souls in the kingdom, they took it upon themselves, and they decided to act. Nathan the prophet and Zadok the priest, they went to King David and encouraged him to name his successor. And they succeeded. David stopped dithering and was galvanized into action. He chose another king, Solomon, instead of Adonijah. Nathan and Zadok, they get Solomon to ride on King David's mule. It was a sign of royal favor to ride on that animal. And they took him to a place called Gihon, where a spring provided fresh water for all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What place could be more appropriate for a coronation than a place of water, bringing new life, refreshment, hope for a dry nation? And Zadok the priest, he solemnly took a horn of oil and he poured it over the head of Solomon. And then the people burst out in praise and national celebration. They blew the trumpet and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." It's not surprising that Handel chose those words to make into his famous anthem that's been so wonderfully sung for us this morning. Originally written for the coronation of George II in 1727 and used at every coronation since. And the anthem is drawing connections between the history of the Old Testament and the British monarchy. As Solomon was chosen and anointed king, so too is the British monarch. That is the story that has been told for us. Now back to that coronation 70 years ago. The Archbishop of Canterbury said these words, O Lord and Heavenly Father, the exalted of humble and the strength of thy chosen, who by anointing with oil didst of old make and consecrate priests, kings, and prophets to teach and govern thy people Israel. Bless and sanctify thy chosen servant Elizabeth, who by our office and ministry is now to be anointed with this oil and consecrated queen. He continued, strengthen her, O Lord, with the Holy Ghost that comforts her. Confirm and establish her with thy free and princely spirit, the spirit of wisdom and government, the spirit of counsel and ghostly strength, the spirit of knowledge and true godliness, and fill her, O Lord, with the spirit of thy holy fear, now and forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank God today that those prayers were answered. As the oil was poured over that young lady, God strengthened her to help lead this nation. At that service, the oil for anointing was held in a little golden flask and was poured into a 12th century golden spoon. These things which are now in the royal jewels, held in the Tower of London. Princess Elizabeth was now wearing a very simple dress of purest white. It was pure theta. Her crimson robe was taken off. Her jewellery had been removed. And she was seated on the plain King Edward's chair in Westminster Abbey. A golden canopy held by the Knights of the Garter was then surrounded above the monarch, hiding the moment of consecration from the congregation at Westminster Abbey and from the millions watching on television. The Archbishop of Canterbury then anointed with oil in the shape of a cross Elizabeth. On the palms of both the hands, he said, be thy hands anointed with holy oil. On the breast, be thy breast anointed with holy oil. On the crown of the head, saying, be thy head anointed with holy oil, as kings, priests, and prophets were anointed, and as Solomon was anointed king by Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, so be you anointed, blessed and consecrated queen over the peoples, whom thy Lord God has given thee to rule and govern. And Her Majesty the Queen has been ruling over this nation and this Commonwealth for the past 70 years. And she is a woman who has understood that she does not do this by her own strength, but by the wisdom of God to go about that task. You and I sitting here today will never understand the enormity of that task that she was appointed for. We can be sometimes quick to criticize and to complain, but we will never know what she has had to go through. Shakespeare had Henry IV say, uneasy lies the head that wears a crown. We will not know what that was like. And the Queen has always been very open and forthright about her personal Christian faith, especially in her Christmas messages over the years. In 2002, the Queen said this, I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try and do what is right, to take the long view, to give my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God. I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel. You cannot get a more clear testimony than that to millions of people on Christmas through the television. The Queen has wealth that most of us could only dream of. She has status and authority. She has titles and significance. But she recognizes that whoever we are, we must all humble ourselves and trust an almighty God. Everything else will perish and fade. As a Christian, the Queen understands that we don't look to ourselves for answers, but we pray that God would help and guide us by the Spirit who dwells in every believer. Today in the church calendar is the great feast of Pentecost, when we remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church. It equips God's people for acts of service. The Holy Spirit is never self-serving. It is significant that in the coronation service, the queen is anointed with oil for service long before she has the golden crown placed upon her head. And it reminds us that service and duty comes a long way before glory and prestige. At Christmas 2012, the Queen said this: "This is the time of the year when we remember that God sent his only Son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer this Christmas day that his example and teaching will continue to bring people together to give the best of themselves in the service of others." The carol in the bleak midwinter ends by asking a question of all of us who know the Christmas story, of how God gave himself to us in humble service. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. The carol gives the answer: "Yet what I can, I give him. Give him my heart." Today we celebrate and give thanks for 70 years of faithful service, a unique achievement for a British monarch. And the Queen has gone through many dark days in her life: the attacks on this country during the Second World War, the death of Princess Diana, well-publicized problems within the royal family, the death of Philip, her own failing health. And yet she has persevered. She has persevered with humor. If you've seen that Reddit video released yesterday with Queen and Paddington Bear, you will know what I mean. And here's a wonderful story in a book called The Servant Queen and the King She Serves. And I think it sums up something about this lady we are celebrating today. Part of her job is to entertain state visitors. In 1998, Crown Prince Abdullah of Saudi Arabia was visiting the Queen at Balmoral. After lunch, Her Majesty asked the Prince if he would like a tour of the estate. He agreed, and in due course was guided to the front seat of a Land Rover, with his interpreter behind him. In Saudi Arabia, the government prevents women from driving, so the Prince was perhaps unprepared to see the Queen getting into the driving seat next to him, setting off at speed along the narrow estate roads and talking constantly. The ruffled Abdullah pleaded with the Queen through his interpreter to slow down and keep her eyes on the road. It is not clear that she took any notice. Can you imagine the white knuckles of Prince of Saudi Arabia on the Saudi Arabia driving around Balmoral? And I'm sure there's many times when the Queen did not want to have such a grueling schedule. She probably didn't really want to open another hospital or another rail station. She had probably shaken quite enough hands that day and spoken to quite enough complete strangers. But she persevered. Reverting to her love of horse racing, the Archbishop of York said on Friday at the cathedral that the Queen was still in the saddle and thanked her for staying the course. That sentiment is shared by millions of people as we celebrate this national holiday. We have been blessed by this lady's example of Christian service and faithfulness. Her reign has seen 7 Archbishops of Canterbury, 14 US presidents, and 14 British prime ministers. She has endured. And I pray that our nation would also take a moment to consider the faith that the Queen holds so publicly to. She said these words in 2014, and with these I will finish. "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life, a role model of reconciliation and forgiveness. He stretched out his hands in love, acceptance, and healing." We give thanks today for our monarch who loves God and loves her people. May we follow her example and let Christ be our inspiration and our anchor. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.